Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp, the National Field Director for STAND. Normally, I would introduce Bishop Jackson, but Bishop Jackson is in Israel, so he will not be on the call today. So I will be your host, and let's always, as we always do, let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to be on this call. Thank you for those who are joining us by phone and the work that each of them is doing to preserve this country. We thank you for patriotism. Thank you for a heart after this country, a heart after the way that you designed it, the way that you, the wisdom that you gave to the founders to put it together, and how you've sustained it these almost 250 years. We give you praise, honor, and glory for who you are. We honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We give you all the glory for this country. We know, Lord, that it has taken blood, sweat, and tears to continue to make this country what it needs to be. Thank you for President Trump. Thank you for the work that he is doing, what you have called him to do, and we ask for his continued health and strength and wisdom. Thank you also for the way that you continue to show us what you would have us to do as patriots, as those who are willing to stand up and fight for this country against those that would take it down. So again, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would continue to move us forward and move us again to that place where we can once again be the shining city on a hill that you have called us to be. Thank you for our guest today. Thank you for Stacy. We ask your blessing on her as she shares with us. And may your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as I mentioned, our guest today is Stacy Washington. Stacy is an author, a radio host, political commentator. She is the author of Eternally Cancel Proof, A Guide for Courageous Christians Navigating the Political Battlefront. That's a mouthful all in itself. And she's also the host of Stacy on the Right on Sirius XM. So, Stacy, welcome to National Awakening Conference call, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Pastor. It's such a privilege to be here, and I want to just thank you. I love hearing Bishop Jackson speak at our church. He's been to our church a couple of times to speak, and he always lights up our congregation. People are on their feet clapping and praising the Lord for his message, and so it's really great for me to be here on his call. I ask you, you know, what do you want me to talk about? And we were discussing the election, and it's DEI, right? The newly rebranded, repackaged kind of PR market phenomenon called diversity, equity, and inclusion, which has gone through many different name changes because of its unpopularity, because it's rooted in Marxism. And so I actually interchangeably use critical race theory and DEI because they are the same Marxist ideology. And that was what was a cornerstone of what the Democrats were running on in the last political election. It was literally a choice between a far left progressive ideological shift, making that permanent because it had already occurred over the 4 years of the Biden administration, or going back to our Judeo-Christian founding, our roots as a Christian nation. That's a heritage that we have. Every person who lives here doesn't have to be a Christian. But our founders understood that the type of government that they gave to us ultimately was fit for a morally upright and Christian people. And so that's what it was, really a choice. And it wasn't a left-right choice. It was a good and evil choice, because critical race theory and DEI sow the seeds of division and hatred within people who, until they were introduced to that concept, really had gotten along well. And we see this in boardrooms. We see this in corporate America, in education, especially higher education, where these protests have taken over the college campuses. We also see it in our elementary and middle schools and high schools across the country, as children are taught to look at each other based on their race or their personal physical attributes, as opposed to judging people by the content of their character, which used to be something we quoted widely, said first by Dr. Martin Luther King, but it's a big biblical concept because the majority of our experiences are shared. And so I did quite a bit of research on this during the election and afterwards to try to figure out, well, if it's not DEI, I watched so many of President Trump's rallies, his speeches, read the Agenda 47, also read the Pride of 2025, even though that was not connected with the administration or the campaign. And I was looking at, well, what's really being offered here? The Democrats continued to push for the failed ideological marketing ploy of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And in contrast to that, Americans were really looking for something else. They were looking for someone to explain why there was so much vaccine damage from COVID-19 shot, why the big pharma complex and the industrial health complex was able to really make billions of dollars and enrich a very small cadre of individuals at the expense of Americans who thought they were just dealing with a pandemic. There was a heavy regulatory burden that the Biden-Harris administration implemented. They actually had about 13 new regulations for every single regulation that President Trump eliminated. Now, he eliminated 3 for every new one that he implemented, and Biden reversed all of those and added additional ones. That regulatory burden amounted to $11,300 of annual net costs on Americans, plus the paperwork burden of red tape, totaling 10.6 billion hours annually. This is an annual cost to American businesses of $145.2 billion. There was also a huge cost to taxpayers. We had to administer that red tape, and that was $80 billion annually. This is fiscal year 2021 numbers. And so as I began to just dig in and dive in, what were Americans really dealing with? Obviously, the big issues, if you looked at the polling by Gallup and Marist, everyone, the Harris, YouGov, all of them said that the big issues for Americans were the economy and crime and, of course, immigration, right? A lot of Americans tied those issues together. And so if you can't afford to have the lifestyle you had just a couple of short years before, you begin to examine that. And that was what made the divergence of the political parties even more obvious. When Kamala Harris would do an interview, she would sit down and she would go back to her tried and true, you know, racism, Trump and Hitler, you know, the kinds of things that we saw again and again and again from not just her, but other Democrats who were running. And that was Biden's mantra as well before he dropped out. And on the other hand, you have Americans looking around and saying, well, is there any candidate who's going to address the fact that we had a botched withdrawal from Afghanistan? We lost reputational standing around the world with our allies because we didn't pull out of Afghanistan in the same manner that we have year after year in engagement and conflict after engagement and conflict, where we have a standard operating procedure of removing our troops from a theater of war where we have been present, and this time we didn't do it that way. And it billions of dollars of equipment left behind, $85 billion, some of it sensitive military equipment, and a loss of trust and respect from our military allies. And this is something that has to be rebuilt. We also had attacks by people on the left who were running a Green New Agenda on the U.S. auto manufacturing industry. They were promoting electric vehicles, which I personally have no interest in, but if you want an electric vehicle, this is America, you should be able to buy it. But government mandates indicate a lack of demand in the private sector. And so that was something that really truly was demonstrative to Americans, that their government that they pay for the first quarter of every year, Americans spend that amount of time working to pay their federal tax burden. And this is something that the government is pushing on not just Americans, but businesses. And the losses were everywhere. Ford lost $1 billion. Hertz fired their CEO and lost millions of dollars on their green energy push to buy EVs. Meanwhile, actual successful businesses in the fossil fuel industry were being attacked by the Biden administration. And this pushed a lot of the labor unions, specifically UAW, they didn't endorse President Trump, but the membership, 62%, supported President Trump in this last election. They still donated heavily to the Democrats because their leadership is Democrat, but their rank-and-file members were sick and tired of having their livelihoods attacked by their own government. They pay taxes for their government to attack them where they work and how they fund their households, which, speaking of that, on inflation and the economy, we're talking about gas prices being up by 38%, electricity up by 31%, groceries 22% more expensive. Eggs were up by a staggering 69%, baby food 31%, rent increased by 23% under President Biden, and transportation costs rose by 31%, and car insurance costs rose by 57%. So those kinds of burdens on families and middle-class Americans are impossible to sustain over long periods of time. And after 4 years of that, I think there were many Democrats, especially who called into the show, who said, well, Kamala is going to win because she's going to fix all of these problems. And I would always say, well, if she was going to fix them, wouldn't she have fixed them during the 4 years she was the vice president? Wouldn't she have given some of these great ideas to her boss, President Biden? She was in charge of the border. Why didn't she close that down? The open border drove an uptick in crime. And there was never a good response to that question. And that's because she didn't plan to actually fix any of those problems. She was going to make them permanent. And so we have issues still facing the country. We have, you know, obviously the border is now effectively sealed by President Trump, but it's been done again by executive orders and implementation of existing law, which wouldn't prevent a Democrat president from coming in and replicating President Biden's results over the last 4 years. So we need legislation from Congress. And out of all of these things, the result of this was, of course, we have an issue with election integrity. We have the open border and loss of national sovereignty. We have hundreds of thousands of migrants who are criminally convicted. Some of them are very heinous crimes who are loose in the country, who are subject to deportation under President Trump. But the idea here is somewhere in our system during the Biden administration, a flaw was exploited. You have the Biden administration basically operating under a system of lawlessness. And that lawlessness is actually described to us in the Bible. God's word says that if we turn away from him, well, if we obey him, we receive blessings, right? If obedience brings blessings. It doesn't mean you'll be rich. You know, we're not talking about prosperity here. We're talking about being in line with God's will and seeing your life is better when you obey him. But there's also the other side of that. And that is, if you disobey, then God says there are a series of curses that will come on you. And one of those curses, described in Deuteronomy 27, is that the foreigner will be above you, and he will lend money to you, and you will borrow from him. The foreigner will have a higher standing in your land than you do, that there will be other ramifications within your life and the life of your nation. Those things will happen if you disobey, if you turn away from God. And he told this first to the Israelites, and that word of God is still applicable to us today. And we saw a microcosm of just how awful that can be during the Biden years. So I know some people, they really get upset with me when I talk about this, because I'm talking about what actually exists. I'm talking about there are Democrats and there are Republicans. There are Christians, Bible-believing Christians, who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died and rose from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father. He did that as a propitiation of your sins. You believe in the Holy Spirit. You know, you've been baptized. You're a Christian. You're walking with the Lord. And then there's everyone else. I didn't make these situations. It wasn't my idea. I wasn't there when God formed the earth, when he decided to, you know, bring Jesus to the cross to redeem us. I'm reporting on these things. I'm not the author of these things. And so there's no reason to be angry about what the truth is. It's the truth, and we have to accept it, because the truth will apply to you whether you accept it or not. And the truth is, our nation was careening towards a disaster, and an ungodly one at that, and now we've been given a short reprieve. And the reprieve gives us the opportunity not just to fix government. I mean, I've spent hours on the DOGE website. I think what Elon Musk and his team are doing is amazing. It's what Democrats and Republicans used to agree needed to be done in government. I'm all for it. But at the end of the day, we need to be bringing people to Christ and saving them from eternal damnation. It's no life. It's eternity without Christ. But worse than that, it's bloodless and full of pain and screaming and gnashing of teeth. It's torture. And we should be trying to save every person we can from that end. And the added benefit of discipling others into the faith is that they're able to receive truth. And people who can receive truth and live truth and speak truth then are better citizens. They're better people to live with at the local level. They're better neighbors. They vote for better policy in schools. They want to protect children. They want to, you know, eliminate evil. They want to fight against evil. They want to have lawfulness. They want to promote law and justice. And they want to, as best as they can, run away from and turn away from evil. And so Christians, we played a huge role in this last election. the biggest role we played was so many people, thousands, I believe it was millions of Americans, but I know at least hundreds of thousands of Americans who were on prayer calls, had prayer breakfasts, prayer lunches, they had Bible study groups, they had prayer groups, and they met and they prayed for the safety of this country and the safety of President Trump and everyone who was running in the election. And that July 13th miracle where President Trump missed being killed by 1 millimeter, a turn of his head, was a clear demonstration from God to us that he answers prayer and that he is interested and ultimately integrally involved in going before us to prepare the way, making the crooked path straight. But we have to act. We have to pray. We have to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And so, you know, sometimes when I'm talking to people about this on the radio or anywhere, they're always surprised that I don't have a completely political speech, that I don't simply just rattle off all of the statistics, because I have them here. I've done all the research. I've spent the hours, and I can share more. But I want to stress that at the end of the day, people who know these things that I share, not just here with you today on this call, but I share these things 3 hours a night on the radio, 1 hour at 5 p.m. East on television every day. I'm sharing facts and news and information. And if you are deceived and sold out to an agenda that makes you think your skin color is more important than whether or not you belong to Jesus Christ, or whether or not the truth is being borne out by your elected officials, or whether your elected officials believe that U.S. citizens are the highest officer of the land and that you ultimately are their boss and they are public servants, not rock stars or idols, but that they are meant to serve us. And when they take on these elected roles, they're actually taking a mandate from the Lord to be in leadership, and he will hold them accountable for the people they were responsible for. A congressional district is 770,000 people. These Congress people who are enriching themselves and not serving their constituents will one day stand before the throne of grace and have to answer for their dereliction of duty and care for those people who elected them. And it's the same thing for the county executive here in St. Louis. 1.2 million people live in the county. He's responsible for things that happen under his watch. He'll be held accountable at the judgment seat. Not being a Christian doesn't give you a pass to skip the judgment seat and go to an alternative heaven. We're all going to have one line for the goats, one line for the saints. You'll have one of those two options. There won't be a third place for you to go. And so the thing that is most important for us is to keep the main thing the main thing. I talk about politics. I educate. I challenge. I debate. But at the end, I want people to know that they need to know Jesus Christ. They need to know him as their Savior. And that is the doorway to an eternity full of amazing and wonderful things that we cannot describe or fully imagine. We can only read in Scripture and try to interpret what God is storing up for us in heaven and in the afterlife, where we will be completely changed. Created bodies. I've even asked some of the speakers who come to church, will we have belly buttons? Because belly buttons are a function of being born from a mom. But we won't have brothers and sisters or parents or husbands and wives in heaven. And so with created bodies, we probably won't even have belly buttons, y'all. I know it's not, like, not super important, but it's something to think about. Like, take a moment away from all of this and think about what eternity is going to be like in the presence of God, talking to Jesus whenever we want to, and seeing him face to face. And that makes all of these things that we're enduring here worth it. And it makes it worth it to endure persecution and ridicule by refusing to look at myself as a black woman, someone who's a victim, someone who I need to oppress white people and make them feel bad because I'm a black woman. Instead, no, I'm a child of the King, made right with the Father through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, clothed in white, and able to approach the throne of grace with confidence and courage, knowing that if my Father hears my prayers, I have the answer to my prayer, and I know he hears me because I'm praying his will. And so there has to be some courage and almost defiance about who we are as Christians, that we want other people to have what we have. And so that's just as important. It's more important. It's the most important thing, but it's also just as important for us to take those opportunities to witness to others and to pray for them and to offer them our assistance and prayer, since we have God on text message and speed dial. We can go to him and pray in Jesus' name and have our prayers answered. We can pray for people to be healed. We can pray for their marriages to improve. We can pray for their children to come out of the LGBT agenda or transgenderism. We can lay hands on them and heal them. We can invite them to church. We can have them over and feed them and tell them about Jesus. And when they ask us, why are your kids so obedient? Or why is your marriage so great? Instead of saying, well, you know, I've read a lot of really great books about marriage. No, I pray over my husband and I pray over my marriage. And I'm in a marriage Bible study every 4 or 5 years for a tune-up because I want to be a good submitted wife. And the thing that you're seeing that you think looks so great, it's not me. It's Jesus. That's what you're looking at. That's what you're seeing. That's what seems sweet to you. Do you want to know him? That's our job here. So I have a couple more things. In turning back to the election, you know, one of the things I think that really turned Americans off with the illegal immigration was the fact that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris never acknowledged Trende Aragua running apartment buildings in Aurora, Colorado. They also had a few complexes under their control in Texas. There's a whole city down there, 75,000 people living in shanties who are illegally present in the country, and they never would acknowledge that. They also never acknowledged the normalization of violent protest movements, starting with Occupy Wall Street, going to Antifa, and progressing through to what we're seeing now, which is the anti-Semitic Palestinian violence on college campuses. And that's right up against the backdrop of all of these crazy people running around firebombing Tesla dealerships and, you know, keying Teslas. The people driving Teslas, 80, 90% of those are owned by Democrats. So they're actually attacking people within their own party. And they're going to be subject to heavy prosecution because they're vandalizing private property and firebombing a dealership. That's an act of domestic terrorism. But these people are acting this way because Elon Musk is uncovering the grift. Millions of Social Security numbers given to people who are illegally present in the country, billions of dollars of fraud, waste, and abuse. And the worst of it, that we have been taught since we were children that Social Security is insolvent and that it's going to run out in 2035 is the latest update. It's not insolvent. It's that it's being robbed. Our entire government is being robbed, and the money is being sent overseas and funneled back to some politicians and some NGOs here in the U.S., and if we didn't funnel that money out of the country to, you know, Sesame Street in Afghanistan, we would have enough money to fully fund Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security without any changes at all. We wouldn't even need to raise the age of redemption. So all of these things are an indication of a nation that has turned its back on God. And if we want different, if we want something better, if we want to preserve the heritage of Judeo-Christian values, the longest running constitution in the history of nations, if we want to preserve that and offer it as a gift and a heritage to our children and grandchildren, then we must return to the Lord. We must repent and pray over this country and its leaders. We must manage our elected officials, and we should enjoy what God has given to us, courageously speaking the truth, because that's the way he meant for us to live, not in fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace, love, and a sound mind. And that involves courage, prayer, and Bible reading. That's what my Bible teacher always says to me. Have you read your scripture? We got to get back in the Word of God. So I can answer questions. I'm so grateful to be able to come here this morning and talk to you. I'm Central Time, so it's 11:23 for me. So good morning and good afternoon to everyone, and thank you for having me today.
Well, thank you, Stacy, for making yourself available for us. You are one of the honorees for our 2025 Stand Awards dinner, and I can, just by listening to you, I can understand why. That's an awesome message that you just shared with us, so we're very grateful. For those listening, press star 6 to get in queue if you have a question or comment. If you have a comment, make it brief because we do have limited time. But let me start, Stacy, by raising this issue. We talked about DEI and racism and all that, you know, that the Democrats traditionally have used, particularly in this last election, but even before that, racism. All Republicans are racist. That's just been the standard mantra for decades, I guess. And not only did that lose for them, but since the election, they seem to have doubled down on those issues. It's very evident, like you mentioned the economy, You mentioned crime and immigration, but they don't want to touch those things. They just want to continue harping on the same issues. Would you comment on that? Would you just take a minute or so and just why is it that they refuse to recognize that the issues that they're promoting are losing issues?
Well, I've been thinking about it, and I have to say, first off, diversity, equity, and inclusion in every aspect of life causes strife and division. It destroys productivity, and it eliminates the cohesion that is necessary in businesses, on teams, for them to be creative and actually create shareholder value for private companies to, basically answer the bottom line, sell whatever it is that the business makes for a living. And so it boils everything down to victim and oppressor. And I just go to the word. God's word says if you lie and you refuse to receive the truth, after a while, your conscience becomes seared and you become unable to receive truth. And I know if you're listening to this call and you've been around politics at all, imagine the last time you told someone that disagreed with you politically, you disagreed, and then that person said, well, prove it. And you go and you pull up links, you show information instead of going to your favorite website. You don't go to heritage.org. You go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, let's say, and you show the statistics. And instead of the person saying, oh, okay, so I was wrong on that, or, oh, that's interesting, that is completely opposite of what I thought that was, or the news said it was this, but this website shows that's not true. What they do is they just shift to another topic and attack you on another topic, and it doesn't matter how many times you show them the truth, they see it. It's almost as if you're speaking a different language. They can't hear you. And so with Republicans being branded as racist, I mean, let's think about just the last, since President Obama was elected, how consistent the Democrat message has been and how they have had 95% of media, right? I know Fox News is huge. Newsmax is now almost as huge. And we do have a consistent and growing media ecosystem on the conservative side. But the fact is, you have about half of Americans who never watch Fox News or Newsmax. They never listen to Stacey on the right. They have SiriusXM, but they only listen to Progress. So they don't know any of the things that I've shared here today or anything anyone else has shared. So they're seared. They're unable to receive the truth, which is why I'm advocating so strongly for people to witness to those who, if you know someone is unable to absorb truth, that is a symptom of who they're serving. They have to come to know Jesus Christ so that scales can be removed from their eyes and they can realize, I don't understand how the Republicans could be racist or misogynist when you look at President Trump's cabinet and see people of color, you see a lot of women. You look at the base, when you look at the rallies, you see lots of women, you see people of color. I think it's not so much about what you know is true as what you've listened to and you heard it and they're regurgitating what they've heard. And so they stick with what they know. And the other thing is, if you're in an ideological silo where you don't know any conservatives, you don't know any people of faith, you really don't know what they're like. So you accept the caricature that's been drawn for you on CNN and MSNBC, and they're holding to that as a base, and they have loud leaders who are helping them to stay in that delusion. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, these are the new standard bearers of the Democrats. Hakeem Jeffries, these are people who, they know the truth, but they don't care because they just want to win elections. So why talk about policy? I mean, if you look at the policy of the Biden administration, how unsuccessful it was, I was actually laughing. I was having a good little laugh over a cup of, I had a Gatorade, and I was sitting in here in my studio laughing because Jon Stewart, who's a comedian, but he's also very politically astute, he's a Democrat, so I don't agree with him all the time, but he'll make observations that are actually factual. And he was on with Ezra Klein, who has a new book out, and they were discussing the Green New Energy Agenda and how you have, I think it's $83 billion for broadband infrastructure access in rural and suburban areas, but the permitting process for planning is 14 steps long. So 53 entities, states, or like Puerto Rico or the states, so 50 states plus three individual jurisdictions, probably Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and I can't think of the other one. These are the ones who actually put in the initial application to broaden their broadband infrastructure. Only three of those entities, three states, made it through the planning phase in 4 years. So they're saying getting through to the ability to actually break ground and install additional lines to expand broadband takes an additional 5 years. So these two Democrats are sitting on this podcast, and John Stewart is, you know, trying to pull his hair out, and they're ticked off. They're upset. They're saying, you know, why the money was there. It was allocated by Congress. A bill was signed into law by President Biden. But Democrats are so married to regulations that we destroyed our opportunity to show Americans that we could provide something to them that they voted for when they elected President Biden, which is the, you know, Democrats assume all Americans voted for the Green New Deal. And so there's that. And then there are others like Bill Maher on HBO. He's a foul-mouthed comedian. But he used to have broken clock syndrome where he was right twice a day. Now he's right a lot because he's not just right on the danger of Islam. He's also right on Democrats being, you know, hell-bent on over-regulating us. And also the idea that, you know, Democrats want to control every aspect of your life. They want to remove your right to parent your kids. They're sold out on the transgender, ideological turn, which even Europe is pulling back from at this point. And they used to use Europe as a standard bearer for us. We were supposed to emulate Europe in implementing what they call gender affirming care, which is just butchery and mutilating children and, pardon me, sterilizing them. So all of these things, you know, you have some leaders in the party who are noticing this. You have some kind of thought leaders, people who speak out, but the elected officials have not repudiated the Biden administration or Kamala Harris. They have not turned away from the craziness. I think after the midterm, maybe just before, they might start sounding really sensible. Like Gavin Newsom has started a podcast and he's starting to say things that make him sound like a normal person because he wants to sell himself to be the Democrats' nominee for president because he wants to be the president. But he doesn't really believe it, because if he believed it, Pastor, he would change things in California because he's the governor there. And California's GDP is bigger than many European nations. So it is a very great place for someone who wants to be the president to showcase their ideas and show that they can successfully run a state and have good policy, and he's not doing that. So that means he hasn't really turned away from all of the ideological sins of the Democrats. And so, you know, I was thinking over the weekend, will the Democrats have to go into exile and, you know, go around the mountain for 40 years in the wilderness until the current generation of ideologically stunted and morally inept people are eliminated, until they die off? Or, you know, do we need a revival to sweep through this country and, you know, just go through every barrier? Because revival does not care about your socioeconomics, your neighborhood, suburb, urban. Revival doesn't care if you're black or white, or if you're fat or thin, or if you have a ton of money or don't. Revival rushes through a nation. When God unleashes that, it goes through and it just takes over the least likely people. They come to know Jesus. And I rather think that's what we need. We need a revival for people to come to know Christ so they can understand truth. And then we could have the viable two-party system that we used to have where, you know, Democrats were, they believed in the sovereignty of America. They believed in God. They believed in families and parents and, you know, the binary existence that God created for us. They believed in all of those things too. They don't anymore, but truth can change pretty much anything, as long as that truth is the biblical truth of Jesus Christ. So, you know, no, the Republicans aren't racist. And yes, DEI is a demon that destroys. And no, I don't think the Democrats are going to let it go. They haven't lost big enough. They're still justifying the loss that, you know, President Trump only won by 1% in the popular vote. They're saying he doesn't have a mandate. He does. But again, when you're deceived, that's what you sound like.
I had a spiritual mentor many years ago who said, when people are deceived, they don't know they're deceived, because if they knew they were deceived, they wouldn't be deceived. And I think this applies to the Democrats as well.
That's good. Yeah, that's perfectly stated.
All right, let's take a call, Brent Vanity. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Ham from Richmond, Virginia. Thank you so much, Sister Stacy, Minister Stacy Washington. I have missed you on AF Oral. However, I see that the beaming light is still there. And I appreciate your presentation today, and I appreciate your heart in getting to the heart of the matter. I appreciate that so very much. Evangelism was the word that the Lord gave me for my church, January, that I always listen for a word, and that word was evangelism. And I thank you. Thank you for confirming. Thank you so very much for being strong in the Lord. Continue in the works of Jesus so that he can continue your ministry that you have to bring this country back to one nation under God. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much, Pastor Ham. Thank you for that.
Well, take another one. Good morning, Ms. Stacy, and thank you so much for your articulate and biblical message in a country that's just so starving for it. This is Jose from California. I'm curious your thoughts. Yes, ma'am. I'm deep in the heart. I'm curious about your thoughts on people who are white but confess a white supremacist. How do you answer that? Are these people like really self-righteous and missing the real forgiveness that they might need through Jesus Christ? And, you know, is the issue more just political benefit and gain rather than really curing any potential racism that's there? How do you answer that? Thank you, and God bless you.
Okay, so thank you so much, Jose, for the question. So I'm just so I'm understanding, you're saying, how do you speak to someone who believes in white supremacy?
Correct. There are people that go in and say, you know, I've been a white supremacist and, you know, caused all this problems. We are the problem. They blame the entire race of people, which is racism in itself. But, you know, what's a good response to that? How do you turn the issue back to Jesus and helping people?
Well, I mean, so racism is a sin just like all the other sins. And so a person who is espousing white supremacy or black supremacy or any other kind of inequality, because that's essentially what it is. They're saying that white people are supreme over all other races. That goes against what the Word of God says. And so prayerfully, you know, you're trying to find an opportunity to talk to that person, not about politics, not about you know, whether black people commit more crimes or anything. Those are surface issues. You're needing to get to their heart and introduce them to Jesus, who would then help them see the incorrect viewpoint of, you know, white supremacy or any other kind of racism. And so it's on the surface, it sounds like, you know, well, you need to help that person understand. Well, how can a person have understanding when they don't know Jesus? And I know, you know, there are certainly individuals who would debate me all day and all night. You know, Elon Musk doesn't know Jesus and he has understanding. Of course, he has the understanding that God has allowed him to have because he's been called forward for a purpose and God is using him. But if you have someone who they're almost obsessed with one thing, that being white supremacy, you're not really going to get very far trying to teach them anything good about black people or Hispanic people or Asians. That's not going anywhere. They need to know Jesus Christ. So I would, instead of focusing on talking about politics or race, I would find out what's going on in their life. You know, how is their marriage? How are their children? How are their relationships? How are they doing financially? I would offer to pray for them in those areas as opposed to addressing race, because that's an area where you have the disagreement and you're not going to find a lot of space to kind of go back and forth on that, because they have already made their mind up about that. So you have to pray that Jesus would change their mind. And while he's doing that, you minister to them in other ways. Because what I often find is when someone holds an incorrect view and they are very adamant about it and it's all they want to talk about, this is the chosen battlefield. They're jumping on that because they have a really
difficult situation in their private life that they can't manage it. They have a child who they're estranged from, or they have a rough situation at work that they can't escape. And so they can't fix that problem, so they fixate on something else, and they that's all they want to talk about because it's a form of escapism. And so there could be an opportunity for you to pray with this person and lead them to Christ, but maybe you don't start off leading them to Christ. Maybe you pray for them in their marriage or in whatever the issue is that they're facing.
Stacy, let me turn that question around a little bit. Where I thought Jose was going, I think you got it correct. What do you do with white people who accuse everyone else of being white supremacists? To me, that doesn't make any sense. If you're white and you say, "Well, oh, white people are white supremacists," well, you're white. I mean, what? I don't understand the argument.
Well, I mean, so one thing I've learned in doing, you know, the radio is, I mean, we had someone call in last night. He said he wanted to talk about unionization and how federal workers actually do need to be unionized because their current union isn't that great. That's what he told the call screener. But when he got on, he wanted to talk about the fact that, and he has proof that President Trump's parents, President Trump's mother and father, were members of the Ku Klux Klan. Now, I can tell you, President Trump is one of the most investigated individuals on the face of this planet. And whether you like him or not, if his parents were in the Ku Klux Klan, we'd know about it. We would have heard that back when he first. We would have heard that back when he was having dinner with Jesse Jackson and the Push Coalition. We would have known mm-hmm. that. And so as I began to, I said, that's just not true. If that was true, we would know about it. And he, you know, kind of burrowed in deeper, raised his voice, kept on yelling. I said, well, maybe you're a part of the Ku Klux Klan. He said, I'm not, I'm black. And I said, but maybe you still are. And he said, what? That's impossible. I can't be. And I said, you see how ridiculous it is for me to say to you, I don't even know you, but you're a member of the Ku Klux Klan. But he couldn't even hear that part of the argument because his fixation was on spreading that message and trying to convince me that President Trump's parents, who are both deceased, by the way, mm-hmm. are members of the Ku Klux Klan. So the idea for any of these things, and I really have tried every kind of debate methodology, whether it was on CNN back when CNN, you know, Don Lemon was still on CNN and he would have me on his show and I would debate liberals on there. And, you know, and I've debated people on television here locally. I've had discussions, you know, panels with people. And these are people who literally live miles away from me, but the debates that we have are full of that kind of almost demonic vitriol. And what I can say without a doubt is that their deception prevents them from hearing anything of the opposing argument. So it doesn't matter how well researched it is or how many facts you have, or even if you have diagrams, charts, pictures, video, you literally can show them the truth. We see it with the Tesla protests. A person keyed a car. I watched this video yesterday. And then the guy confronted him. He said, you keyed my car. And he said, no, I used a crayon. I can wipe that off. I'm sorry you're upset about it. He said, you're on my Sentry camera system, 9 cameras around every Tesla. And it's showing you with your keys out, running it down the side of my car. And then you stop and you draw a swastika with the key. And he said, well, I run a car service. Maybe I could give you a car service. And he said, I'll just bust that right out. It doesn't really hurt the car. The guy refused to acknowledge that he'd done this, even though he's on camera, and he's going to be prosecuted for it. Yet he's standing there telling this guy, you know, I used a crayon. So, I mean, deception this strong isn't something that we're going to be able to argue over. We have to mm-hmm. have the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I just pray, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do? And sometimes he tells me that I just need to be quiet because I'm mm-hmm. not going to make any difference with the person that I'm talking to. In fact, I'm probably just going to enrage them and make them hate me or, you know, cause a kind of a, you know, verbal altercation that would be very unfortunate. So sometimes I have to be quiet and just pray and, you know, leave the opportunity for the next Christian they're going to bump into. I just have to sow a seed of, okay, well, you know, we disagree and I don't really think we should keep on with this. And sometimes just saying that, you see the person, they're so shocked that you don't want to argue. They, you know, their shoulders go down, they look shocked, and then they'll say, oh, okay, and I'll just say, I hope you have a great day, or, you know, it was nice to talk to you. And sometimes they'll stop me and say, well, I mean, I didn't mean you had to leave, or, you know, I didn't mean you couldn't say anything. And I'll say, well, I just don't want to talk about this particular topic because we disagree. And then they'll try something else. So mm-hmm. we have to disarm them, but it's not something we're going to naturally want to do, because our natural instinct is to argue and press the point and win because we know we're right. But that doesn't always work. In fact, it almost never works with people who are supremely deceived like that.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Stacy, for being on the call today. Really appreciate, as Pastor Ham said, your ministry. This was awesome. So thank you very much.
Thank you
reminder
for having
to,
me today.
You're very welcome. Reminder to everyone on the call that May 16 is the 2025 Stand Awards Dinner. As I mentioned before, Stacy is one of the honorees. She will receive the George Washington Award for taking a stand, and so we're looking forward to that. Also, a reminder, again, you can go to the website, standamerica.us, and all the information on the dinner is there. Also, a reminder that a couple years ago, in response to Pride Month, Bishop Jackson declared that between Mother's Day and Father's Day, this is, I can't remember what it's called, Family Month, and traditional Family Month. I'm sorry, my mind went blank there for a little bit. Celebrate traditional Family Month. So from Mother's Day to Father's Day, we want to emphasize the family as God created it, one man, one woman together, mm-hmm. raising children, procreating. This, again, this is another issue that we probably should talk about at some point, is the lack of procreation happening, not just here in America, but all in all the Western world. Birth rates are way, way down, and that needs to change. But again, thank you, Stacy, for being on the call, and God bless all of you as you continue to serve the Lord and this country, because you know what we need to do. We need to stand up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we do not quit, because we are on God's side.
Oh, amen.